today on Rocking the Suburbs.
In the 90s, he put an album out called Pilgrim, which is so bad, I threw it away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this Friday edition of our podcast. Thank you very much for being a listener. If it's your first time or your 200,614th, we really appreciate it. Yesterday, if you didn't listen to the episode, I'm going to have to tell you to stop what you're doing, go back and listen to it, because it's very important to today's conversation. Yesterday we had the first part of an induction ceremony into the Bob Dylan Album Hall of Fame. Stephen Routledge and Justin Siner on board, and Stephen is inducting the 30th anniversary concert celebration album that took place in 1992. Fall of 1992, and was released in the following year, and very eye-opening. I hardly was even aware of this album. I knew that the concert took place, and I knew there probably was an album of it, but I never really spent any time listening to it, and this has been really eye-opening for me. So, yes, the committee has accepted the induction. It is now in the Bob Dylan Album Hall of Fame, and I hope you enjoy this second part of this conversation. Now, if you remember yesterday's episode, or you just ended up listening to it now, and you're here for part two, the last thing we heard on the part one episode was a version of Neil Young doing All Along the Watchtower. And we're going to open today's episode with Stephen and Justin talking about that performance. So if you need to refresh your mind, just put your mind in that space of Neil Young playing All Along the Watchtower, or better yet, go listen to it. And I want to say a big, big thanks to Stephen and Justin for putting this together, doing the recording, sending it all in. Just wonderful when our listeners take the reins. I just love it so much. So thank you guys very, very much. I'm going to turn it over now to Justin Siner and Stephen Routledge with part two of the Bob Dylan Album Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
It's just the organ really makes it, though, doesn't it? I think that's what.
Yes.
It just, yeah. I'm not sure whether that's Al Cooper or whether it's Booker T, or but it just really gives it that little bit extra. And again, it's a much more sort of leaden-footed version compared to Hendrix. You know, his is much lighter on its feet, as you might expect. But then again, yeah, Jimi Hendrix. He's probably the greatest guitar player that ever lived, so
yeah,
you know, it's not surprising. So,
but you know, speaking of guitar, I mean, give me Neil's guitar tone, like, just all the time. Like, that just hits the pleasure centers. You know, I mean, this was around the time that I got into Neil Young as well. I think Ragged Glory was kind of where I came in, and then started working my way backwards after that. But I think probably by the time this came out, Harvest Moon had been out already too, right? Was that 92?
I'm pretty certain. Yes, because he did the world tour, Ragged Glory, the world tour. Then he had to do Harvest Moon because he was basically going to lose his hearing if he kept playing.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy Hills for a bit. That's just that instant. I mean. Yeah, Neil's one of those guys, you know, you just need to hear a few notes and you know it's him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No one else sounds like him. He's got his own unique style, and that's part of why I love him so much, you know, as well as all the great songs and his cantankerousness.
which he shares with Dylan, actually, so that's kind of a perfect pairing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, they're two different sides of the same coin, I think, in some ways, but anyway, that's another discussion for another day, I guess. But, okay, so after we get a couple of Neil songs, we then get Chrissie Hynde doing I Shall Be Released, which, again, is fine. But after Chrissie Hynde is where we like the Blue Touch paper and just launch into orbit. And there is another film podcast in the UK that I listen to. It's been going for 20 odd years now. A couple of guys called Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode. And they have a lot, like many long running podcasts, much like Rocking and Star Wars. They have these various, you know, their own bits and sort of mythology of things that go with it. And one of them is the smallest hill on which you're willing to die.
Okay.
Okay. And this is one of my smallest hills on which I'm willing to die. That Eric Clapton's performance of Don't Think Twice, It's All Right on this album is not only truly great, it's also the greatest thing he's done since the 70s. And it's probably the greatest thing he's done. He hasn't done anything better than it since. This is, I think, he totally transforms the song. This song is almost unrecognisable from the original. And his playing is scorching hot. I mean, it is. He, you know, given in the 90s, he put an album out called Pilgrim, which is so bad, I threw it away. Right? Because there is no lead guitar on it whatsoever. Now, before Neil, when I first started playing guitar, for me, it was all about Clapton. I got the Crossroads box set. I've mentioned this possibly in the past before. And I was deep into Clapton to start off with. That's what got me into playing guitar and wanting to play lead guitar. And he's, you know, I'll freely admit, he's put out a lot of rubbish, an awful lot of rubbish. I mean, and the Pilgrim album is just so, so bad. I mean, it's good for using as a coaster, basically, and that's it. But then this pops up. And interestingly, on the streaming version, it includes the deluxe version, which also has the rehearsal take of this, which isn't as good as the live take. The live take is definitely better. But just, yeah, it's just like the event, I don't know, yeah, the, having all this competition around him somehow elevated him. But, you need to have like a fire extinguisher ready for your speakers. Because, you know, the first time I listened to this, it was like the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Bits of my face were melting off, and it was just like, you know, it's just so good. So, let's have a listen, and obviously, have buckets of cold water on standby, listeners. I'll get your thoughts on it afterwards, Justin. Eh?
Out my name like you never did before. Ain't no use in calling out my name, baby, but I can't hear you anymore.
As the song ends, towards the end, he hits just on his guitar one note consistently for I don't know how long it goes on. For me, it could go on another 5 minutes the passion behind it just is exactly what you want. I don't, you know, Dylan as a blues man is not a context you know, necessarily put together, but some of the performances here, especially this one, really recontextualizes some of Dylan's music in that kind of blues style, which I'm sure is part of the mix, but when it comes out of him, I never really feel the blues.
But yeah, there's two guitar solos. We've got the one that we've just heard, and then there's the one that you're talking about at the end where he just wails again, and he just keeps bending that same note and just wailing on it, and it's just like you say, yeah, it's like you think, oh no, he's going to stop it now, and he holds it again, and the band keep going, and they're following him, and the crowd's reacting as well. It's you can tell everyone, the audience is reacting to the performance. They're going, yeah, this is fire.
Yeah, you're definitely seeing something here, and you know, I'll agree with you on the Smallest Hill to Die On as far as Clapton and this performance. Yeah, everything you said, I second.
Yeah.
It's sad, just, really, but you know, hey, at least there's like, this.
Yeah, you feel like, man, couldn't you just take what you had then and bottle it, and then just
keep
plug
it.
Back into that at some point in the future.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it's just absolutely phenomenal performance, and yeah, it's the standout, highlight for me, and yeah, I never tire of hearing it. And again, as you said, the song is completely transformed. The original, it's almost, you know, the lyrics are the same, obviously the chords are the same, but the arrangement is so different, but it just works so perfectly, and that's, I think that's what makes it, you know, so great, because it just, it takes something familiar and turns it into something even more spectacular, you know, and that's not often you get that, you know. So okay, well, straight after that we get the OJs doing Emotionally Yours. And
sorry, OJs.
Well, here's the thing, though. This, for me, this is the other truly great performance.
Really?
Here. Yeah.
Interesting.
The thing is, the style that they do this in is not usually my sort of listening, but just the vocal, the vocal arrangements, it just gives me goosebumps every time.
Ah.
And every time I hear this, I think, do you know what? This is what Stevie Wonder should have sounded like.
Mm.
I just, again, the song doesn't sound anything like a Dylan song, really, to my ears, because the performance is so radically different from anything he could ever approach, you know, because you've got these wonderfully skilled, soulful singers doing these multi-part pieces, and it just really, yeah, again, it gets me every time, you know. And, I mean, to the point that when, you know, Arlen and I were, you know, before we were married, and yeah, she's not into music like we're into music. And she said, oh, you know, and I was like, oh, I'll do a CD up. And I actually titled this CD Emotionally Yours and put this song on there, because it's just like, it just blows me away every time I hear it. It's just...
Does she like it as well?
Yeah, I don't think she likes it as much as me, but this...
Well, know, I mean...
Yeah. But
I don't think my wife likes any bit of music as much as I like certain bits of music either. So, and that doesn't mean that she doesn't have a passion for it or like it, but you know.
Yeah, she has a few that she truly loves. She really loves Acts of Man by Midlake. And she loves Johnny Cash. She loves Live at Folsom Prison. She loves that album.
Oh, nice.
There's a few others, but not to the same extent. But then again, most people don't love stuff to the same extent that we love music, do they? So, okay. Well, we'll have a little blast of Emotionally Yours, and then we'll sort of round out towards the end and then try and tie things all together. So.
Come on, baby, teach me. Come on, baby, and reach me.
Yeah, there's kind of a bit to the end where they do kind of like a bit of a breakdown where the vocals and harmonies just get out of control and it's just like phenomenal. You know, I just love it. But
yeah, it's not one for me that necessarily stood out all that much. But one thing it does have over the Stevie Wonder is that it's more concise, which I think might be part of my problem. Not problem, but why the Stevie Wonder track does not. It hit me nearly as much.
Yeah, I think also with the Stevie Wonder, the arrangement is fairly straight.
Yeah.
So, you know, and given the talent of Stevie Wonder, you can't help but think he could probably have done something a bit more spectacular with it, you know.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know he's capable of it.
Yeah.
Clearly he's Stevie Wonder, but for me that one just always hits really hard as well. You know, after the Clapton performance, that's probably my second favourite one on this on the album, you know. And from this point in, we're kind of getting into the, towards the end of the show, we get the band doing When I Paint My Masterpiece. And again, I wasn't really, again, because as I said before, I hadn't really got into country and that sort of Americana stuff yet. That performance didn't really register with me in the same way it would have done had I heard it 5 years later, you know.
Yeah.
Same with Tom Petty, Roger McGuinn with Tom Petty doing Mr. Tambourine Man. It's fine, but you've heard that before because the birds, you know, it's not anything you haven't heard before. And by finally on the 11th song on the second CD, we finally get to hear Dylan himself.
Yep, finally there he is. Well, you know, if it's Bob Fest,
his first appearance on one of his on the album, yeah. We're trying to put into the Hall of Fame. Maybe it'll get rejected by the committee. Who knows?
I
mean,
I don't know. I think the committee has pretty loose standards. So
yeah. And again, that's fine. And then we get a couple of all star performances. One of which is significantly better than the others. We get My Back Pages with Dylan, McGuinn, Petty, Neil, Eric all taking a go, and I do quite enjoy the My Back Pages. I think it's quite fun.
Yeah.
And also both Eric and Neil take a solo, so maybe that's the key to why I quite enjoy it.
Well, but they're good solos, and I mean that's a great song. If I were going to pick just even the Dylan version, which song do I prefer, My Back Pages or Knocking on Heaven's Door, it's My Back Pages every time. So
The Knocking on Heaven's Door is like an everyone sing along, and it's kind of, I mean, you get why they did it, but listening to it back, it's like, yeah, it's probably fine if you were there, but it's compared to what else we've heard, it's nothing special, you know.
Yeah, just your boilerplate kind of tribute. Yeah. This is what we do.
Yeah. And the four things finally wrap up with Dylan's Girls of the North Country, which again is quite a nice way to sort of bring it all to a close, you know.
Yeah.
Again, on the expanded deluxe edition, you get a rehearsal take of Clapton's performance, and you also get Sinead O'Connor's rehearsal performance. But not on the original version of the CD. Neither of them are on there. Certainly not the one I had that came out in 1993. We also get George Harrison makes an appearance, doing Absolutely Sweet Marie, which again is fine. However, I have to mention this for a slightly different reason, because if you've only listened to this album on the streaming, the song just starts. If, however, you have the original CD version, the aforementioned Chrissy Hynde does a rather cringeworthy introduction to George Harrison, which has been judiciously edited off of the version that's on the streamings. Unfortunately for for Chrissy Hynde, I have the CD version, so I have the I'll play out with the outro, the second solo from Don't Think Twice, just to finish off the show. But I'll maybe drop the Chrissy Hynde introduction on as a little Easter egg at the end, because it is quite I'm sure she heard it on the, when the album came out and thought, get my agent on the phone. get that off of there now, because it's like, you know, I can understand, because she's overcome with excitement. She's introducing an actual Beatle on stage. Yep. You know, I'm sure we'd be just as cringeworthy ourselves, but yeah, when it's captured for posterity, maybe she wasn't so thrilled. I don't know. But it was noticeable from the, when I was relisting on the streaming version, like, hang on a minute, there's something missing here. Yeah, so okay, I think we'll probably maybe wrap up there. Just, you got any final thoughts you'd want to add, or
well, I had never
anything I've
listened to this, just because it you know, didn't necessarily register until after the episode I recorded with Patrick about my Hall of Fame entry. You had mentioned this to me, and I thought, huh, interesting. So yeah, I think I end up enjoying, you know, for the most part, the same tracks that you did, which I guess makes sense with if the mind meld is going to continue through. But I have a question for you then. Like, so mm-hmm. if this was your Rosetta Stone for unlocking Dylan, do you remember where you went next with his music?
Yeah, interestingly, yeah, I didn't go to Highway 61. I went to is it Freewheeling that's got Masters of War in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I went Freewheeling first, then Highway 61.
Okay.
And I enjoyed Highway 61 really did it for me. Unsurprising, man, it's one of the greatest albums ever made. Yeah. So it's not, yeah, we're not, again, we're not breaking any, you know, shocking revelations to anyone. And yeah, that remains my favourite Dylan album. Yeah, I mean, it's a great album, but Desolation Road, that is my favourite Dylan song. Mm. I just absolutely love Desolation Road. I mean, it feels like a companion piece to Ambulance Blues in some ways to me. It's this really long, meandering sort of solo acoustic performance. And yeah, but I just love it. And I've seen Dylan once, again, in the mid-90s. And he performed Desolation Row. And it was recognisably Desolation Row. It hadn't got quite to the stage of him, you know, rewriting songs on the hoof as he plays them. So, yeah, I left that show happy that I'd seen one of the all-time greats do my favourite song of his. And it's like, okay, I've ticked that box, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I enjoyed the show. Yeah, and he probably did like Rolling Stone and a few other more well-known stuff as well. But that show was also notable for the fact that it said Bob Dylan with special guests, and the special guest was an unbilled. Well, the lights went down, and Elvis Costello wanders out on stage with an acoustic guitar and just...
Oh, wow.
plays a set, plays half an hour, 40 minutes, and then just, yeah, we want to keep this one under wraps, he said, as he came out and, you know, played Shipbuilding and stuff like that, and... Like, okay, that'll do.
Yeah,
I'll take that. I'll take that as a support act. It's not often you get, you know.
Yeah, a huge artist opening for, you know, yeah. A huge artist.
But when you're Dylan, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Everybody suffers like in comparison, McCartney. But, yeah.
Anyone else is going to be willing to open for you if you're Dylan or McCartney or someone of that stature, aren't you? So,
yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully I've made the case for a submission to the Hall of Fame. As I said at the start, I'm not saying this is Dylan's greatest album. I'm not saying it's my favourite Dylan album, but I am saying it's the most important Dylan album for me, because it's the one that, say, unlocked the magic of Dylan for me, and for that I will be forever grateful. And also, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right is awesome.
There you go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, Justin, it's been great talking with you again, mate, as always. And if anyone wants to get in touch with the show, they can call the Suburban Party line. They can email into the show, rock@suburbspod.com. I think it's Suburbspod on all the socials. You can find me on Facebook at Stephen Routledge, and people can find you, Justin.
I'm on Blue Sky at Justin Steiner. And on Facebook as well. And then I have not written anything on my Substack all summer long, but hopefully I will soon. So that's Shoo Fly Pie. That's SHOOFLYPIE at Substack.com, where I do write about music, just kind of taking the summer off, I guess. So
to be continued.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we'll play out with the second solo from Eric Clapton, and yeah, thanks for listening, folks, and yeah, take it away, Mr. Clapton.
Don't think twice. It's all right.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not great, is it?
No. Because she had no idea where she was going with that.